Let's now go to the preaching of God's word. May I invite everyone to pray and really pray. Pray for me, pray for all of us, that God will work in a very fresh and mighty way. Lord, we thank you. Father in heaven, we bless your holy name. We give you praise, Lord, and the glory and the honor that belongs to you alone. We know that you are a jealous God, and you will not share your glory with another. And we know, Lord, that all things are from you, and for you, and to you. To you be the glory forever and ever. We are what we are right now by your grace, and we acknowledge that we, as we begin this day, Lord, in the study of your word, we pray that you will work in and through us. This is your word, Lord, and it speaks directly to us who are made in your image. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us insight to know the meaning of the passage that we will be studying this morning. So, Lord, we fill us with your Spirit. Use me, Lord God, as an instrument in your hands to teach your word. Because, Lord, you said in your word that one of the chief roles of the Spirit is to glorify Christ. And so we pray that your Spirit might do that in our very midst this morning through your word. That Christ will be glorified among us, and that our minds and hearts would be drawn to him, and that we would be changed. Father, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. On August 23, the famous Puritan and theologian and minister John Owen dictated his last letter to a friend before he died. And this is what he said: I am going to him whom my soul has loved, or rather, who has loved me with an everlasting love, which is the whole ground of my consolation. And then the following day, a certain man named William Payne, he was an English painter and etcher, he brought John Owen a news with regards to his work entitled Meditations and Discourses on the Glory of Christ. It was now on reading and on printing during that day. And then after hearing that news from this man, this is what John Owen said. This is what he replied to this man: I am glad to hear it. But, oh, Brother Payne, the long wished for day is come at last, in which I shall see the glory in another manner that I have ever done or was capable of doing in this world. For this man, the summit of Christian experience is what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me. For John Owen, this is the summit of Christian experience, to see the glory of Christ. He continued to say, I shall lay the foundation of the ensuing meditations in this one assertion, namely, that one of the greatest privileges and advancements of believers, both in this world and unto eternity consist in their beholding the glory of Christ. Owen could hardly have expressed any better the greatest privilege of the Christians, our privilege as his brothers and sisters. Brothers, this is what you and I were saved for. This is what you and I were saved for, to behold the glory of our Savior. Is this what you do? Do you consider the glory of your Savior worthy of your consistent, concentrated, prayerful meditation, knowing that this is what we were saved for? Why this testimony of John Owen about beholding the glory of Christ should minister to us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, this is a very familiar verse for all of us. Paul said, "Those whom he foreknew, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son." For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. And that's the goal to which God is bringing each one of us, to be conformed to the image of his Son. We know how it is going to happen ultimately, right? We know how it will come to us ultimately. John said in his first letter, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." He is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, as we were taught, one look at him in all his glory and all his holiness will be so overpowering that it will instantly change us in his likeness. That's how powerful the glory of Christ when he returns. In an instant, just one look, we will be changed. And our quest for holiness will finally be realized when we actually see the Lord of glory. That's why we cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long will I wait? How long with this situation?" And that's why we are continually being exhorted to be prepared for the last 3 years. Prepared, be prepared, and now to hold fast until he returns. Because we're not yet there. We're still waiting for that day to come. And mind you, it might be today. It might be after the preaching. It might be today. But he has not yet come. He has not yet come. So, how do we become more like Christ now? In this life, when we have 1,000 temptations to conform to the world than to him. You can testify, each one of us, about this truth. There are more temptations to conform to the world than to our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we pursue to become more like Christ before that day of glory and reflect the increasing way his image? How? This is where John Owen's testimony on beholding the glory of Christ, I believe, will make more sense to us. The same way that will happen in the future, it will happen now. The same way it has been ordained by God that we will become more like Christ perfectly, it is the same way now for all of us Christians. By beholding the glory of Christ in ways that we can while we are here in this earth. Which is our text for this morning is talking about. So look with me at our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We all know who wrote this. And let me just give you a very brief context and background of this chapter, just chapter 3 of this letter. Paul, in this chapter, is arguing for the superiority of the glory of the new covenant. The old covenant, according to him, contains letters engraved on stones that pronounce condemnation and those who disobeyed. Pronounce condemnation to those who disobeyed. That's what the old covenant does. For all those who disobeyed, which is all of us. The problem with the old covenant, according to him, is that it's just an external code. It didn't deal with the heart. It didn't provide the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to work eternally or internally in a person. So Paul, in this verse or in this chapter, said in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Before Paul was converted, he thought that he was saved by keeping the law. But all it did was kill his peace, his joy, his hope, and it results in spiritual death. Paul's inability to truly keep the law sentenced him to an eternal death. It was temporary, according to Paul. The old covenant is temporary. So it points forward to something far greater, which is the new covenant. And you will see in verses 12 to 16, Paul shows that even though the old covenant came with glory, it was temporary glory, just temporary glory. And that temporary glory was veiled. And he used as an illustration the experience of Moses. As Moses veiled the temporary glory of God that shone forth in his face. And with that illustration, Paul makes the point that the hearts were veiled and the minds were hardened. So people are blinded to this superior glory that comes in the new covenant, which is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. Under the ministry of the new covenant, that veil is taken away. In verses 16 to 17, that's what he said. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Paul is saying that when a person comes and turns to the Lord, Jesus Christ and embrace Him as Savior, he encounters this life-giving new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit, where there is freedom, meaning no more bondage to sin. His eyes are now opened to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of eyes we have as believers. And that brings us to our text in verse 18. We have this great statement of transformation, brethren, that comes through beholding the glory of Christ. Beholding the glory of Christ. So I have entitled this message, Growing in Holiness Through Beholding Christ's Glory. Growing in Holiness Through Beholding Christ's Glory. I would like to ask several questions to outline this message for us. First question, who is being transformed? Who is being transformed? If we will go back to Exodus chapter 34, we will see Moses' experience with the Lord. Particularly, you will see there that whenever Moses would enter the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he removed the veil from his face. Familiar with that story? And he beheld the glory of the Lord. Under that old covenant, only Moses saw God in an unveiled face. Only Moses were allowed by God to see that glory. But notice here in our text, chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians, it says, we all, with unveiled face, have the privilege of beholding the glory of God, of the Lord. Not just for one or for a few people, not only for the Jews, for the apostles, for the first disciples, not only for Moses, it's for all who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil is forever lifted up, forever gone, and we behold the glory of the glory of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, for the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. By beholding as in a mirror, we are being transformed. We become more like Christ. We grow in our holiness. And I was surprised, actually, by the fact that this particular word, beholding, in this verse, is used only by the Apostle Paul here. Only here. And he used it in no other places. What is it that we behold as in a mirror? Nothing less than the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And Paul explained that in chapter 4, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory that we behold is God's glory, as it is mediated and revealed to us, not in Moses, not in any Old Testament characters or any other character in the Bible, but in Jesus Christ himself. He also speaks in chapter 4, verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This is what we behold. Only through Jesus Christ, we can behold the glory of God. And he was presented in many places in our Bible, particularly in Colossians 1:15. If you would open your Bibles in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul testified about Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made the purification of sins, he had sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And John testifies in his gospel, John chapter 1, we have seen his glory. He said, we have seen his glory, and the word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we can say that the mirror is Christ. The mirror that Paul was talking about in this verse was Christ. And he will always be the mirror of God's glory. The mirror of God is mirrored in the face of Jesus Christ. Going back to our main point, the main point of this verse, through beholding the glory of Christ, the glory of the Lord, that we are transformed and changed into his image. Through beholding the glory of the Lord, that we are being transformed and changed into his image. Another word, transformed. We are all being transformed. This is the word where we get our English word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. It is the main verb of this verse, transform. It is written in the present tense in Greek along with beholding. So our beholding and our transformation go together and it continuously happening in our lives. The effect of continuous beholding is that we continuously being transformed. And that's why it is so essential for us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that first song earlier. We fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is telling us that the way we grow in holiness, the way we continually and progressively transform, is through continually meditating on the glory of Christ. Meditating on the glory of Christ. The next question I would like to ask, what does this transformation look like? What does this transformation look like? Look at your seatmate, if you may. Look around you. we might not appear to be very transformed, right? Look at your seatmate. Does he look or she look really transformed? We look in the mirror, we look at ourselves, and sometimes you don't see it, right? I don't look like transformed. We know that one day it's going to affect our entire being, like what I said earlier, including our bodies, so that transformation is going to have a physical manifestation. How about now? That's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. He said, Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. When Jesus Christ returns, the manifestation, physical manifestation of His glory will be seen in our lives. We long for that. We long for that to happen. We grow now and we pray. We pray for sick brethren. We pray and we deal with struggles and diseases because we have not yet on that form. We still feel illnesses. We still feel weak. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Our outer man is decaying, wasting away. Hindi po tayo pabata. We don't grow becoming more strong. We become weak. We become limited. So what is this transformation that Paul was talking about? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, we can see and understand what he's trying to say. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, regardless if you are non-believer or unbeliever, or if, regardless if you are believer or unbeliever, our outer man will decay. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. This transformation is an inward transformation. Inward transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? By putting on makeup? By dressing beautifully? No, by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. As we behold the glory of Christ, there's a transformation that takes place in our minds. In our minds. We become less conformed to the world in its values, in its standards, and we become more conformed to Christ. We become conformed more to Christ. What becomes visible in this transformation is our behavior, our character, our manner of life, our standard, our values, our preferences, our affection, our relationship to the people, our desires, our choices. It just manifests in those areas and many more. Our hearts are stirred. And we love Christ and we see Him as infinitely glorious. We have a longing to taste His glory because it became better for us than anything that the world could offer to us. That's why the world cannot understand us. So to what degree do we experience this transformation? To what degree? According to the verse, to our verse, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory. There is a progressive transformation. You don't stop in one point and then wala na. Or next month na. Next week na. The glory reflected in Moses' face faded. Remember? But the glory of the Lord that is reflected in our lives is to increase progressively and gradually. We are to make progress in becoming more like Christ. Are you? Are we? We must confess that more too often, brother, there are setbacks. Yes, we are not making as much progress as we would because of these temptations, because of these problems, because of the many experiences we are experiencing in our lives. You might be able to say, you don't understand what I'm going through. This text would imply that setbacks that come for us when we take our eyes off the glory of Christ, and become more enticed with the glory of the other things. What are those? Health, wealth, work, business, and many more. That's why the Christian life is a battle. Pastor Robbie keeps on reminding me, and even all of us, this is a battle for focus. A battle for focus. That's why the Christian life will never end. We will never end battling here on earth. A battle for growth in holiness is to see the glory of Christ in and through us again and again and again and again. And to ensure Him, to treasure Him above all else, above anything else, and to see Him as more valuable than any other things. It is being able to sing with all our heart. Take this world, but give me Jesus. Take this world, my God's enough. Take this world and give me Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's more glorious than you can ever think. Who is the source of this transformation, brothers? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the source of this transformation. The one who enables us to behold the glory of the Lord, and the one who does this transformation in our hearts is the Holy Spirit. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, we don't see Jesus Christ as glorious. We will never see Him as glorious as He is. We don't see Him as far more valuable than others. Our hearts are hardened. Remember that. Our minds are blinded. Don't be too proud. But the Spirit comes and shines in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Do not depend on yourself or on any other means. So, if the source of the transformation is the Holy Spirit, and I have nothing to contribute to that, does it mean that we just sit back and do nothing? Of course not. We act because we are acted upon. We act because we are acted upon. Upon whom? Upon? By the Holy Spirit. And as He acts upon us, we want to be in His Word, and we want to give ourselves to seeking His face and seeking Him as more glorious than other things. The work of the Holy Spirit in changing us is not to work directly in our bad habits, but to make us admire Jesus Christ. Admire Jesus Christ so much that sinful habits feel foreign and distasteful. Let me read that again. The work of the Holy Spirit in changing us is not necessarily to work directly on our bad habits, but to make us admire Jesus Christ so much that sinful habits feel foreign and distasteful. With that, we join others to sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. How do we behold the glory of Christ today? How do we behold the glory of Christ today? We don't see Him now with our physical eyes, right? He has ascended to the heavens, sitting at the right hand of God. How do we behold the glory of Christ today? If we will look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 to 11, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. This is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle John. And verse 11, this is what the Lord is saying. Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Write in the book what you see, and send it to the seven churches. It gives us perhaps the most remarkable vision of the glory of the resurrected Christ in Scripture. I hope I am able to experience that vision. We can only hope that we can see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us audibly like this. It is an amazing vision of Christ in His glory given to the Apostle Paul. You see what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Apostle John here. Christ Himself want this vision written down and sent to the churches, right? It's very clear. Christ could have appeared individually to each of the seven churches as He appeared to John, right? That's not impossible for Him to do. He could have appeared individually to each of those seven churches, but He didn't do that. What did He say? Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. You and I don't get an ecstatic vision like the Lord, like John. But we do get a book. We have a book that records the vision of the glory of Christ. In here, we can behold the glory of Christ and be transformed. The implication is that Christ wants us to see Him in His glory while we are here on earth through the Bible, Scriptures. When we study the Word of God and see something of the glory of Christ in His Word, and we meditate on that and dwell upon it, we are changed. We are transformed. It is the same way when He showed to the two disciples during right after He resurrected in Luke chapter 24, verse 16. Luke chapter 24, verse 16, you will see there that Christ showed to the two disciples as they go to the to Emmaus. Christ could have immediately revealed Himself to them so they could recognize Him and have taken away all their griefs and doubts. But He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why did He let them go through that period of questioning and doubt and uncertainty and grief? Yung mga disciple po niya na ito, they were discussing about what just happened. That Jesus Christ, He was crucified by the Jews, and they felt hopeless. What will happen to us now? Why He allowed that? He can just show up to them. Because He wanted them to see from the Scripture the things concerning Himself. He wants them to see from the Scriptures the things concerning themselves. And when their eyes were opened and they recognized Him in verse 31 of chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 31, this is what they said to one another. Were not our hearts burning within us, while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scripture to us? Jesus wanted them to see from the Scripture that these things were so that their faith would be rooted in something solid, which is the Word of God. What set their hearts was the understanding of Scripture that they had received from Him. When the truth of Scripture becomes clear, the heart is set for rejoicing. The heart is set for rejoicing. That's how we behold the glory of Christ, brethren. Now, habang hinihintay pa po natin ang pagbabalik ng Panginoon, we hold fast. And we hold fast by beholding Him through His Word, through His glorious Word. That's how we behold the glory of Christ as we wait to see Him face to face one day. Martin Luther said, "For although He is everywhere and in all creatures, and I may find Him even in stone, fire, water, or rope, since He is assuredly there," He is all everywhere, remember, "yet He does not wish me, you and me. Also, He does not wish me to seek Him apart from His Word. There, if you will seek Him, you will truly find His glory. That's the testimony of this great man. So we need to spend some more time reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. Because as we do, we will behold the glory of Christ and be transformed increasingly into His image. Let me ask you a question. How's your appetite in meditating on the glory of Christ? With so much entertainment, distractions, diversions, and many other things around us, do you still find yourself marvelously impressed? Marvelously impressed with Jesus Christ compared to these other things? Be honest enough to answer this. Maybe we've become so full of junk foods. We can call it junk foods. When we come before the banquet of the glories of Christ, we're not just hungry. We're not just hungry. We're already full with all this junk food. So we need to do some evaluation. Church, brothers and sisters, maybe it's time to, depends on you, maybe it's time, in one way, shut down the computer, log off from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, whatever social media you're in. Maybe it's time to shut down for a while your computer, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter, your YouTube for a while. Or turn off the TV and put away some other distractions in order that we might spend more time in the Word of God. If we really want to be transformed, you know what? All of these things, all the other things, they also have the power to transform us. Yun nga lang, not in a Christ-like way. And as we do this, ask the Lord to open the eyes of your heart so that you may see Jesus, we may see Jesus, and that you might be thrilled once again if that has lost for a certain time. That you might be thrilled once again with this Lord of glory, and that you might be impressed with Him. See His true value in your life, that He might truly become your treasure above all other things. Let me quote John Owen. He said, We need to think much about Christ if we wish to enjoy Him. We need to think much about Christ if we wish to enjoy Him. Have you ever caught up in your life enjoying Christ? Yes, our culture doesn't encourage us to think and meditate and reflect deeply on the things, eternal things, things of eternal value like the glories of Christ. You cannot trust our culture now, especially now, to help us do that. Another statement from John Owen. If we are satisfied with vague ideas about Him, we shall find no transforming power communicated to us. But when we cling wholeheartedly to Him and our minds are filled with thoughts of Him and we constantly delight ourselves in Him, then spiritual power will flow from Him to purify our hearts, increase our holiness, strengthen our grace, and sometimes fill us with joy inexpressible and full of glory. When we see and value the glory of Christ this way, we are gradually transformed in His image. He continued to say, "It is impossible that one who never meditates with delight on the glory of Christ here in this world, who does not labor to behold it by faith as it is revealed in the Scripture, it is impossible for that person, even for that professing believer, to ever have any real sincere desire to behold Him in heaven." Kung dito pa lang, hindi ka na excited to behold His glory, kung paano niya ipinapakita yan through the Scripture. John Owen said, "You will never have any real sincere desire to behold Him in heaven. You will not be excited for His return. You will not plead for His return." The text here that we are studying tells us that as believers, we can see the glory of Christ unhindered, unobstructed, and absolutely clear in the mirror which God has given us, His Word. How does beholding the glory of Christ transforms us in a practical way now? We can meditate and behold the glory of Christ in His offices as prophet, priest, and king. We've been studying for the longest time Old Testament narratives, right? 1 Samuel, and now we are in 2 Samuel through our pastor. And through that, through the teachings from those narratives, we can meditate and behold the glory of Christ. We saw His office as a prophet, priest, and king, and we think of how all these things were prophesied and typified in the Old Testament, and Christ came forward and fulfilled all of them. We behold the glory of Christ in the superiority and finality of His sacrifice under the old covenant. As I mentioned earlier, the same animals of which could not ultimately take away sin, repeated after year and year after year after year. The same sacrifice of which could not ultimately take away sin was being repeated year after year. But then Jesus shows up and offered one sacrifice for all. One sacrifice for all time. And He completely satisfied the righteous requirement of God. He appears once for all at the right time to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Think of redemption, reconciliation, imputation, propitiation. All these great gospel words, all gospel terms that we have known, all these great gospel words that were all enacted by the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled them all. If you're not familiar with those words, may I invite you, brethren, friend, get to know this term. Get to know this. Words, and see the glory of Christ through them. We see the glory of Christ in His incarnation, in His crucifixion, in His resurrection, in His ascension, and later on, in His return. Eternity. This eternity, this return of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are so much anticipating, this will only increase our joy and wonder because we have been able to enjoy, behold, meditate upon His glory now. We will never exhaust the glory of Christ. Think of the glory of Christ in the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of God in sins through Jesus Christ. Our enormous sins were stunningly forgiven by God. As you meditate on the glory of God in forgiving your sin, your incalculable sin, because of Christ, you ought to become a little less bitter and resentful to those perhaps who have wronged you. You ought to become more willing to forgive others when you meditate Christ in that great work. The more important it becomes for you to forgive others as you continue to meditate and behold the glory of Christ in the forgiveness of sins. So that when you read verses like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. When you read that verse, when you hear that verse, something inside resonates, should resonate. For our conclusion for this message, the Apostle Paul, being the writer of this book, he found the truth in this verse, not only to be a great truth theologically. The Apostle Paul found this not only to be a great truth theologically, but a life-sustaining truth practically. And he learned that the only way to live your life in a troubled world is to maintain focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. He has learned that if he is going to see God in the midst of all of the difficulties in life, of all the troubles in life, of all the temptations in life, he must see Him, Jesus Christ. He must see God in the face of Jesus Christ, who clearly is revealed to us in the Word of God. I want to end by reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, chapter 12. And let's just read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I pray that this message, upon hearing this message, brethren, will attain by faith for us a view of the glory of Christ as you continue to contemplate on His person. Do not pass over it as only a truth you know or you hear. That He is glorious in Himself. I pray that we will endeavor to affect our heart with this glorious Savior. I pray that we will endeavor to affect our heart with it as that which principally involves us. Then it will be effective to transform our soul in His image. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your gloriousness in our lives, in our salvation, in our sanctification, and in even in our glorification. Thank You, Lord, that it never ceases to be glorious. You never cease to be glorious. Ano man po ang aming pinagdadaanan, nasaan man po kami ngayon, Panginoon. And we thank You, Lord, that it will continue to increase as day pass by, as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord God, we ask of You, multiply Your grace upon us, that we will see our desperate need to increase in growing in holiness, Lord God. And that we might see that the way to do this, the way to attain this, is to behold the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through Your word revealed to us. Be glorified, Lord, and be magnified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.